Hey guys, before we get started with UFC featherweight contender Josh Emmett, let's thank Warhammer Fightwear. WarhammerFightwear.com, they have some of the best gear in all of mixed martial arts. They have gear for us men, the ladies, and the kids. They also have really cool items like trucker hats, bags, and so much more. Check them out at WarhammerFightwear.com or hit them up on the Amazon app, WarhammerFightwear.com. All right, guys, let's go bananas with Josh Emmett. Hello, world. What's up, guys? Dave Van Auken back again on the Fight Bananas podcast. Wow, what a week we've been having. Thursday, April 9th. Hopefully everyone's staying safe and staying home. Wow, just a very altering, life-altering, event, pandemic that we are all in. So, definitely from my family to yours, hopefully everyone's good out there. But, all right, guys, it's hopefully put your mind at ease. Have a little fun. We're going to have Josh Emmett, UFC featherweight superstar. Love this guy. Love him. Been a fan for him for, 7 years, 6, 7 years, inside the octagon and outside. He was kind of funny story. When we first started doing this crossover to Fight Bananas, my main man, John Raffren, the professor, and I, we had Josh Emmett on one of the first Facebook live shows ever. One of the first ones. And we were so happy to get him on. And, that was before we were doing podcasting and our YouTube channel and fightbananas.com. We were just a couple kids with a dream. but it's really cool. He was on back then. And now we're on podcast 202. Thanks, big up to Josh Emmett. Guys, episode 200 was a major success. Our dear friend of the show, Jillian the Savage Robertson. Man, we love her so much. Hopefully her fight is still good. In June, we talked a lot about it, how she's still kind of training through all this, especially with Dean Thomas. So a lot of big moves. But before we get Josh, I kind of wanted to do something real quick. I have something for him for the end of the show. And I was like, man, the featherweight division, people want to talk about the lightweights. And with UFC 249, we're about to have a new lightweight champion, Tony and Justin Gaethje. And there, of course, there's Khabib Nurmagomedov, Conor McGregor, one of the biggest names in all mixed martial arts. But then I feel like the featherweight division doesn't get the love it's deserved. And we have a new champ, Alexander Volkanovski. The guy's a machine. Ran right through Max Holloway, unanimous decision, 5 rounds. You think they're going to rematch? That's UFC 251. It's not official yet, and but they're going on with UFC 249. So I would assume the Brazil show in 250. Our girl Phenom, Felicia Spencer, Amanda Nunes, and Aldo and Cejudo. So hopefully UFC 251 keeps going, and that is Volkanovski, and we think it's Max Holloway. And that will hopefully, one way or another, in a weird way, and I love Max, like I will probably be rooting for Max, but if Max wins, you think they're going to go to a trilogy, and that's my favorite word in mixed martial arts, but that would log jam this featherweight division that I do want to hit on real quick. It's just Murderer's Row. It's New York Yankees, it's insane. So you got the champ Max, like I said, the ex-champ Max Holloway, the all-time great, I think the featherweight king of all time in UFC, Alexander Volkanovski, but then you just have so much young, up-and-coming, just stud talent. I'm talking about like Zabit. We guys have Yair Rodriguez, and then fan favorites. How about the Korean Zombie? Past number one contender Brian Ortega with him versus Max Holloway is one of the best fights I've ever seen. We got two studs also on UFC 249, Jeremy Stevens and Calvin. And then, of course, we got our guy, Josh Emmett, who was about to fight Arnold Allen earlier. And, that fight fell through. He's welcoming Edson Barbosa to the division. Like I said, Arnold Allen. We didn't even mention Super Sadiq. How about, it's just crazy. We still got Charles Rosa that we had on the show, and he's fighting Bryce Mitchell, hopefully at the OKC. It's just, the featherweight division doesn't get the love, and I love the possible matchups up and down. You can't mess it up. You can just pick names out of a hat. Next is Sadiq versus Zabit. Love it. Very cool. Okay, if Charles Rosa wins, it's Rosa versus Brian Ortega. Love it. Like, there's just no messing around. Josh Emmett, you got to think if he wins, and when he does win, it's a top five fight. He's just been there long enough. 15-2, that'd be a 16-2 with one of those losses, a split decision. You know how I feel about split decisions. You kind of won, right? So You know, he got caught one time, but other than that, he's just one of the all-time underrated featherweight greats in the UFC's history. Just an absolute stud. I love me some Josh Emmett. And like I said, guys, I hope we see Volkanovski and Max Holloway at UFC 251. Hopefully that kind of clears this division up. We're going to see, hopefully, Mitchell and Rosa, and then with Calvin and Jeremy Stevens. There's matchups involved, which I love, and it really will. But Josh Emmett, 6 UFC wins. Kid's a stud. God, Josh Emmett. All right, guys. So we're about to get him on the show. One of our favorites, one of the original OGs of the Fight Bananas podcast. Let's give it up to our main man, Josh Emmett. All right, guys. Here we go. UFC featherweight contender, my main man, Josh Emmett. How you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing really good, man. How is you and the family and everything like this? Corona effect, the pandemic. How is everything going day to day in your life?
Yeah, everything's going, everything's going pretty well, given the circumstances, but it feels kind of the same to me, like as far as like my regimen, just because I'm sticking to my diet, I'm getting sleep, instead of going to practice because our gym's closed.
Right.
I'll still go run. I'll get my workouts in, hit the bag in my gym or in my garage, or go do one-on-ones with some coaches. So
okay.
Even though I'm not practicing, with the team and doing other things that we typically do, I'm still sticking to some type of regimen.
Right. You got to. And especially hopefully, with UFC 249 going on, hopefully your fight, OKC, is still good. I had Charles Rosa on last week and he was talking about it. And he goes, I call every day and the UFC says, yes, we're doing it. We're going. Have you talked to the UFC at all about your fight May 2nd?
No. And that's kind of a funny thing. Like that fight is actually, I did one other interview and they asked me about the fight. Everyone else found out about that before I did. I've never even been offered that fight.
Really?
On that date. And I saw that they leaked it and all this stuff. And I was actually on the phone with my manager at the time. I was calling him for like updates and like possible opponents and dates. And my phone started going crazy. And so I just opened something and I was like, oh, they just announced this fight. And he's like, all right. So as like, I don't have a bout agreement. I've never been offered to fight in Oklahoma, so that's not happening.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. But yeah. What I was saying before, I'm not opposed to the opponent at all. Barboza, he's coming down to featherweight. It would be an exciting fight for the fans.
Right.
So I'm not opposed to the matchup as long as it makes sense. And when my wife and I were in Vietnam, they asked my manager if I'd fight him April 25th in Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And my manager he said, I already know your answer, but I still have to kind of tell you what they're throwing out there.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's way too soon, just because I was on vacation. I just got injured. So that's the reason why I went on vacation. So I was like, the soonest I want to fight would be like mid May to possibly June or July, you know, and then all of a sudden they have me fighting in Oklahoma and I'm like, you got to ask me at least,
wow.
At least call me.
Right. That's so,
yeah. So that May 2nd card will not happen.
Okay.
I'll tell you that. But
okay.
The opponent, I'm not opposed to that.
Right. It really is. It's, he has a big name. The featherweight division, we'll kind of get into that later, especially we'll have a fun little thing at the end about some of the featherweights on the rise. I love the featherweight division. You've been a mainstay there for a while. Kind of the story, a lot to unpack there, but I had Malky Kawa, who's the CEO of FRM, had him a couple of podcasts ago, good friends with Felicia Spencer, and I was talking to her, probably 4 weeks ago, and same kind of thing, and I was like, hey, is this going to happen with Amanda? She's like, it probably will, but I haven't got a bout agreement yet. She's like, hey, I haven't got it. And I talk to her all the time. And then next thing I know, it's everywhere. Ariel Helwani and ESPN, UFC, they're putting it out that they're fighting. And she's like, Dave, I still haven't signed anything. I guess I am taking Amanda. But it's amazing that I hear that. And same thing with, I say with Malky, like, the UFC moves quick, it seems like. And it's almost, I don't want to say they put the pressure on you in a way, but like they, like you said, they leak stuff and it's like, okay, I guess I am going to fight or not. So how do you feel on that? And are you confident in yourself and to get another fight, be like, hey, May 2nd, I'm not ready. I'll, I'm going to get him in June somewhere.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you know, Sean knows. Like, I've never turned down a fight. I have not turned down one fight, and so he probably knows my answer. But it's like you got to at least call and ask first, you know. But yeah, maybe that could be the case. You know, if they try to, they're trying to put the pressure on you.
Right.
But it's like, but that's the thing. I was injured, so I wasn't even cleared, and then I was going to come back and, you know, basically. Like the end of February, early March, and then that's why I was like, oh, I want to at least see how I feel first, just because I got injured and I had to take like several, you know, right. I took like 2 months off, and so I was saying the soonest would be like mid to end of May, and then I saw they were coming to San Diego, you know, and so
yes.
I went on that
yes.
car. It's in California. It's a quick flight for me not have so many people there, but the Athletic Commission. CSAC, California yes. State Athletic Commission, announced that they're going to have no sporting events through the month of May. So I'm like, that's definitely not happening. And so I'm like, you know, I've always wanted to fight in Vegas. I've always wanted to be on International Fight Week.
Right.
Never have. So I'm like, that's looking a lot better to me at this moment. So it's, I actually just, I hit up my manager today, and then I was working out and missed his call. So I'll shoot him a call tomorrow.
There you go.
And I'm going to see if he's heard anything back. But I already know the question to that, because if he's heard anything about my contract,
yeah.
about dates or anything, like he would have already called me. So, and he's also, you know, he manages Ferguson. So I know he's been dealing with that type of issue. So I really didn't want to bother him. But I just shot him a text saying like, hey, what's going on? And I have one fight on my contract left. So I think that's what they're trying to renegotiate right now.
Right, right.
So from a business standpoint, if it makes sense, for sure, I'll fight anybody. But if I wasn't going to benefit from it, then from like a standpoint of he's won the last, I think, 4 of his last 5 fights, coming off a 2 or 3 fight losing streak. I've won the last 4 of my 5. He's won the last 1 of his last fights.
Right.
I've
right.
won 4 or 5. So, I didn't get compensated in some way. Then it doesn't make any sense, because I don't move anywhere. I beat him, you know, where I stay where I am. He beats me, and then it's like he takes my place, and then they push him for a title shot, you know?
Right,
so,
right, right.
They have to throw something in there, like pay me, and then I'll get a damn top 5 and top 3 person, you know, instead of just keep fighting people behind me. It just bothers me.
Right.
So I'm never
right.
going to get to where I want to be if I can't get those big matchups that I want.
Wow. So much there again. For one, yeah, International Fight Week, I can see you and Barbosa as like the main event of the prelims, and that's no, it's. The prelim main event is usually like one of the best fights in the card, because they want ESPN to watch it, or, you know, whatever it's on. It's a huge fight, usually an exciting fight. You guys, just as a fan of MMA, would be amazing inside the octagon, you and Barbosa. But yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. You're always in that 8-9 spot, and it's like with him coming in, and there's so many studs above it. Like I said, we'll get into that in a second. You know, I would love to see you fight a 5 or 4, and I, you know, take care of business, and you're 1 or maybe 2 away from that, and we'll get there. First and foremost, last time we talked, I don't know if you remember, it was in the transition when we were heading to fight bananas. You talked a lot about Mastermind, and you talked about working out here on the Corona effect and everything of that nature. But me personally, with multiple kids, it's not the workout. It's almost working out your mind in this, you know, staying at home and I'm off my schedule. How are you doing it? How are you working out with your mind and making sure everything is still good and you're still in a positive state of mind?
Yeah, it's for me, that's like I was saying before, I feel like it's kind of the same. I think people that, you know, work a typical, you know, job of some sort where it's like a, you know, 8 to 5, and they physically have to get up, get ready, leave, and then they don't come home till later. I think it's affecting them the most. But right. for me, like I said, this is kind of, I'm sticking to the same regimen. Like, I get up, I eat. Then instead of me getting ready and going to practice, I go for a run. I come okay. back, I eat, I go into the garage and do another workout, or I go work with, I do a one-on-one with a coach, you know what I mean? So for me, like, as far as that goes, I'm kind of, it hasn't affected me so much. And I see a lot of people that are stir crazy and they're like, oh, I got to get out of the house, I got to do all this stuff. The only thing that, like, I can't do is like, there's nothing really open, you know? So
right.
like, say my wife wanted to go see a movie, like, we can't do that, you know what I mean? But we can do it here at home. So it hasn't really affected us too much, because it feels the same, you know, like nothing's changed because we don't have those normal jobs. So yeah, I'm staying, like, yeah, I'm just doing a lot of stuff. I'm like just reading up on some stuff. I've been playing around with some day trading, and
there you go,
getting into the stock market, you know, especially this time's a perfect time. So I've been playing around with
really
that a
is.
lot, and I have like a good buddy of mine that's kind of mentoring me and like, you know, showing me the ropes of that. So I've been learning a lot, reading a lot, and just having fun with it.
Oh, very cool, my man. So yeah, what do you think? What's your first take with UFC 249? They're going for it. Gaethje and Ferg in the main event. They just nailed the whole card. The card is stacked. It's one of those like, hey, we're sorry with all this you know, chaos, and especially with Khabib and Ferguson not fighting for the fifth time. What's your main take? Your first, you know, gut thing? UFC 249 is a go.
Yeah, I think it's you know, obviously I really wanted to see the Khabib and Ferguson fight. But I still think the fans are lucky, you know, like in Justin Gaethje and Ferguson, like I really want to see that fight as well.
Yeah.
They're both super dangerous. Like it can go either way. But yeah, like I said, I think the fans are lucky that we're going to get to see a sporting event during this time. And it's like you said, the top to bottom, the card is stacked.
Really is.
So I'll definitely be tuning in to watch that. And looking forward to it. You know, we only have two more weeks, right?
Yeah.
2.5 weeks until it goes down. So yeah, no, I'm stoked about it, but I do feel that it's just risky for Ferguson. You know, is he on a 12 fight win streak?
12 in a row.
Yeah.
I get, you know, they did make it for the interim championship, and then Ferguson said, you know, he really kind of wanted the belt back regardless. And he said it too, and I do respect this, and I heard it right away. He goes, sooner or later, I was going to fight Gaethje. Like, I was going to get him sooner or later, so let's just do it now. Let's just get it out of the way.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, he's on a 12-fight win streak. Gaethje's super talented and tough. One of the, you know, he's a big star, up-and-coming guy, and everyone knows who he is. So I think people are excited about it. I think it'll be more of an exciting fight from, like, a, you know, just a fan standpoint. Like, but like he is taking a big risk, you know, because Khabib and him were supposed to fight 5 times already now. And that's for the title. So it's like, he wins the fight. He's in my eyes, he's already the interim champ. You know, he was the interim champ and then he got stripped of it. So he's already that. He wins. He still has to fight Khabib to unify it. But if Gaethje wins, which he very well could, it sets Ferguson back. And then it's a crazy thing how it went down, but it's awesome how, they're both willing to do it, and just so they can, you know, put on a fight, and, you know, they both believe in themselves. I think every fighter, you have to believe you're the best and you can beat anyone. Otherwise, why are you in this? You know,
right.
Even though there are a lot of people that just want to say they got to the UFC and step foot in the octagon, go 0-2 out, but that would mean absolutely nothing to me and a lot of people. So I'm stoked for this fight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a mixed martial arts fight, a fan's dream for sure. Okay, so, you know, almost the long as you've been in the UFC, Max Holloway has been the featherweight king. I still think the greatest featherweight maybe of all time. Volkanovski beats him, unanimous 5 rounds. It looks like that rematch is going to happen at UFC 251, especially the UFC 249 going. I would assume the next events are going to go. So 251 is going to be that. You know, how do you see the rematch playing out? And were you surprised with Volkanovski with the domination of Max? Or you just you know how skilled Alexander the Great is?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, Max is a great champion, and, you know, people were saying Aldo was the best featherweight of all time, but then, you know, Max put him away twice.
Right.
And he's been so dominant. And, but no, I called it. Like, I was doing a lot of, like, interviews before their fight, and I kept saying Volkanovski's going to beat him.
Really?
It's just the style. I feel like the style is just different. Like, Volkanovski's like, he's a powerful, just great wrestler. He stays in, like, a good shell. He's real. I don't know. I was just saying he's going to beat him. Like, he's going to beat Holloway. And then, yeah, he pulled it off. And it was a great fight. You know, it was an awesome fight. But I don't see the rematch really going, you know, much different. Like,
right.
I feel like it's going to be pretty similar. And, you know, but they've been in there. They were in there for 25 minutes together. So they know what's going to happen. And they know each other's style. They know how hard they hit, how fast they are. But I don't know. I just don't see it playing out that different. I think styles make fights, and I think that Volkanovski's style to Max is just, you know, he kind of, I don't know, he just not expose him, but he kind of knew what he was going to do, and nothing seemed to faze him, and he stuck to his game plan and implemented it throughout the whole 25 minutes and did really well. And that's the whole thing. I was like, and I think Volkanovski and I match up really well. I think we're very similar in just like our, you know, size, stature, power, like everything about it. I think we match up like really well together. And that's what I was saying. I was like, man, I would love to work my way up there and then eventually get a crack at him, just because I think it would be an exciting fight fans. And just, you know, he's beat some of my teammates and stuff like that. And he's a good dude. I saw him in Rio when he fought Aldo. And yeah, he's just, you know, he's just a humble, he's a good guy. He'll be a great champion, just like Max was.
Right.
But it's just like I think everyone wants that. Everyone's gunning for that. So now he has a target on his back, but no, I was calling him to beat him.
Wow. One last question. Then I said, we have a little fun little thing at the end with a couple of the featherweights. You just mentioned it. Cejudo, stocky, short, strong wrestler, Volkanovski. We keep on going the weight classes. Khabib Nurmagomedov, 170, Usman. It seems like that's a winning recipe for these 125s and 170s in there. I always say that, you know, I have two boys. One boy he's 7 years old. He's in the boxing gym all the time. And I'm like, wrestle. That's the first thing I want you to learn is wrestling. Are you with me on that? If you had to teach one base to start, wrestling is a great starting point for any mixed martial artist.
Oh, 100%. I come from a wrestling background. I grew up, I wrestled since I was a little kid, all through high school, junior college, and at the 4 year. I haven't got to, you know, demonstrate it much in the UFC, but I can go on there and wrestle really well. So I think wrestling is the perfect base and foundation for mixed martial arts. Cause you can't, it's hard. Like, unless you've wrestled, like, you cannot teach wrestling,
right?
Especially at high level in, you know, a year, 2 years, 5 years, you cannot. But boxing, you can show someone how to throw a punch, you know, get someone's timing down, like all these, like, fundamentally. But wrestling is just a different, I don't know, just sport. And it's tough. It's like, you can't teach someone how to golf in a year.
Right.
It'd be like Tiger Woods. It's just like the technique, and you have to have all that mat time. So it's like, I even feel, I don't know, it's kind of,
it has to be
similar,
like, ingrained in you almost, you know. It's just like something, a part of your body, you know. That's what I always feel like. People tell me, it's like, no, like, you, I needed that move for 14 years, move the feet right to wrestle. It's just everything I hear.
Yeah, and it's just the work ethic. Like, wrestling, it's so damn tough. Like, a seven minute college match is tougher than a 15, even a 25 minute fight. Wow. I was a champion in a regional scene before I got in the UFC, and I fought 25 minute fights, and it's like a 7 minute match, like grind match, is way tougher than, wow, you know, cause it's nonstop going. It's like you're squeezing, you're pulling, you're using like every body part and muscle. And it's like, it's so exhausting and draining. And at least like in a fight, you know, you can dance around, move around and breathe. You know, if you're on top, you can kind of breathe and stall. It's just, that's not the case with wrestling. So I highly recommend people to get into wrestling if they want to get into MMA. You know, I
right.
say build that foundation with wrestling. And then I would say once they get the, you know, the technique and everything for, and they're doing pretty well, do as much tournaments as possible just for fun. But then also get into some of the jiu-jitsu, you know, because it's different. Like when you're so used to wrestling, when I got into MMA and stuff, when I would shoot in, and then jiu-jitsu guys, like, our necks are up, we want to have good posture.
Right.
And then they just, whoop, like, you know, you choke you and stuff like that. Like, just learning things. But yeah, I would say start there. And then, and a lot of times in a fight, like, I didn't feel comfortable just standing on my feet until probably like my eighth pro fight, where I just stand.
Really?
I would go in there, even amateur fights, and think like, oh, I'm just going to stand and knock this guy out. But then they hit me, I'm like shooting in, just instinct.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
yep,
it's,
yep.
I say work your weaknesses, because someone's not just going to stand there. It'd be like a street fight. Even though someone might not be able to fight that well on the street, like, they get into it, they just grab each other and like start whipping each other to the ground. Unless you're like comfortable and you're going to stand there and like literally fight. Someone was going to just stand there and
right.
And then as far as like women and little girls and stuff like that, even little kids in general, I always say like, I'd say, I think the best self-defense is jujitsu, you know, for them, because it's just like, a woman, they could put them in some type of submission or choke or lock. And, you know, you don't really have to rely on strength for that if you have good technique, you know.
Right.
So those kind of my thoughts.
No, that's great points. Great points. Thank you so much, Josh Emmett. Guys, follow Josh Emmett UFC on the Instagram. Definitely give him a follow. 15-2 featherweight. All right, fun little thing. I'm going to name 6 featherweights. 5, 10 seconds, a couple words that come to your head right away. You ready?
Yep.
The Korean Zombie.
And just nonstop walking down, pressure.
Pressure. Okay. Brian Ortega.
Slit submission artist.
Okay. Bryce Mitchell.
Loves the camo.
He does. That's a good one. Zabit.
Just unorthodox, crafty.
Crafty. Okay. Two more. Super Sadiq Yusuf.
Up and comer, just powerful. Just powerful.
Okay. Last one. One of my guys, Charles Rosa.
He's super talented. I've trained with him. He's come out to Alpha Male before, and he's just, I don't know, he's a good dude. He's talented. He's well rounded everywhere.
You right.
Know, he's really well rounded.
And the best thing, if he would train with you, did he cook for you? Best cook in the game.
No, he did not.
Charles Rosa,
next time, if he ever makes it out here again, he'll have to.
There you go. I mean, man, really do appreciate it. A lot of tough times going on, and we've been doing a lot of podcasts and just trying to give people entertainment and something to, not to watch the news, so hopefully people will have fun. Have a great night. Continue success. Hopefully we'll see you June or July in the Octagon. And, Josh, thank you for your time, brother.
All right, anytime. Take care.
You too, man. All right. Wow, what a great interview. That was one of my favorites right there. Josh Emmett, UFC featherweight contender, top 10. Definitely, I like what he said, too. He needs someone ahead of him. No more fighters behind him, or at least a big name or a big paycheck. Sometimes money talks, right? 15-2, huge power in the hands, and you heard him. Wrestling base, he has that. Maybe he's the sleeper of this division to get Volkanovski's belt. I kind of agree with him as well. If the rematch does happen, I do like Alexander to defeat Holloway again. There's so many names. We talked about it with the featherweight division. A lot of young and up-and-comers, but then just a lot of mainstays up there with Korean Zombie and Ortega and Zabit. There seems like there's always, once in a while you hear a Cejudo talk, once in a while it's a Frankie talk, so there's always a lot of names up there towards the top. Guys, get ready to say Josh Emmett, featherweight number one contender soon. I'm telling you. Hopefully he stays. There's one fight. Hopefully he gets another 4-fight, 6-fight deal. I would love to, round out his career here in the UFC. But major thankful. Thank you, Josh. Welcome on the show anytime. Hopefully we'll talk to him right before he fights during the summer. Guys, hopefully you're thanking our sponsors, Warhammer Fightwear and Instill Nutrition. Check them out at instillnutrition.com. Our main guys, Fusion CBD Products. Go to fusioncbdproducts.com. Put in the fight code FIGHT2020. That is FIGHT2020. You get 20% off your full order. Last but definitely not least, Makotech Mouth Guards. Make sure you protect your grill. Wow, what an episode. What a week. Keeps on going. We had that guy's wrestling podcast. He dropped a couple episodes, a WrestleMania 36 preview and review show. So a lot of content coming your way. Thank you, Jillian Savage Robertson. We had the Golden Fighting Family. So we've had a ton of content coming out. We have one or two more big surprises coming into the weekend. So awesome. Guys, hopefully everything is good with you and yours. Really do mean it. We're so grateful. Keep on downloading. Keep on subscribing, liking, rating, sharing. Make sure you subscribe to the Fight Bananas YouTube channel. A lot of great stuff, a lot of great content. Every podcast, every interview, and of course, ton of gym and fights that we record on the daily up there all the time. Fight Bananas YouTube channel. All right. I'm Dave Van Alken. Thank you so much to Josh Emmett. Stay bananas and stay safe and stay home.